morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 24th, 2023. It is 10:06 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Chris Nemitz and Chris Goetsch. They are the mental health coordinators with the ODC. Looking forward to talking with them any chance we get to talk to our friends at the ODC. Right now, our good friend Lance Plimmel, chairman with Wood County Board, is in with us, along with our good friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Say good morning to them. Do yourself a favor. Go into YouTube. Type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to their page. Keep up on all the great things that they are doing over there. It's also a great way to do your homework for interviews. That's what I did last night, because I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but thanks to you guys putting those out there, I got to watch some of the board meeting that Lance was just in the other day. And I hadn't got to see a whole lot of board meetings before, Lance. I've gotten the notes from them before.
Hard to believe, because, you know, we're higher rated than American Idol. So
I don't know why you're missing that. More people should be watching. And I say that teasingly, also seriously. I'm so glad that I watched it. For one, I don't think that until I watched it, I had a really good understanding of what meetings can be like. And not to say that every meeting is going to be like that one, but I appreciated how the balance. It was light. You guys were smiling. You were, you know, communicative to each other, and also business to do, where, you know, you got business done. Is that how a lot of the meetings are, Lance?
Generally, yes. You know, I made a comment at that meeting. I just returned from Utah. I was at a National Association of Counties meeting out there. And I think I started our meeting. There was no public comment, so I happened to make a comment.
Okay.
I guess I get a little latitude as the chairman.
Sure.
And, you know, and I wanted to, you know, thank our board for the collegiality, the compromise in the way in which we work. Because a lot of boards across the country don't have that, you know, that way of doing business. We just are very lucky. And at the end of the day, we might have our discussions, and if you want to call them arguments on particular issues, but at, you know, when we're all said and done, it's, all right, let's shake hands and go out the door smiling. And, you know, you win some, you lose some. But that's what government is. It's, you know, it's a compromise on those issues. And, you know, you hate to compromise, you know, morals, those types of things. But at the end of the day, you typically don't get your way entirely 100% of the time, and you have to be aware of that. You have to sacrifice the perfect decision for the good, you know, outcome.
Any good negotiation, that's, you know, what I've always heard. Both parties leave, and you're a little happy, a little upset. That's a good negotiation. That's a good deal right there, usually.
Yeah, and you have to realize, you know, the one thing I've learned in government over time is you win some, you lose some. You hope you win more than you lose.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, if you lose on an issue, it was because you were outvoted. Mm-hmm. And either you didn't do a really good job of convincing the other side they ought to vote your direction, or the other idea is just a better idea, period. And at that point, you have to say, all right, what's the next issue? Let's get on with it, and let's continue to move forward.
That was something that I thought was very interesting, too. The idea, oh, I feel very strongly about this. We voted. All right, we're moving on. You know, no matter how the vote went your way or not, the ability to do that, the maturity of that, which shouldn't surprise me when we're talking about adults, but nowadays, I'm very proud of our area for that. I'm very proud that we had that maturity, that we have that. As you touched on, not every area has that. But another thing that occurred to me, too, and this is coming from a little bit more of friends of mine and family members I've talked to out in other states and when it comes to their boards and how so many of them not only don't, well, you know, I don't know if we have a county board, or I don't know who's on it, or I don't know what they do. Like, we have more and more of this seeping into our society when it comes to politics, when it comes to jobs. And one of the persons asked me, well, you know, I don't even know if we need that anymore. And like, yeah, you do. Yeah, and I want to get into that a little bit, Lance.
You know, James, that's really funny, because on the way over here, I was, you know, we don't script anything. For anybody out there watching or listening to this, you know, it's a free-flowing conversation, whatever comes up. But on the way over here, I was thinking about, you know, what do we talk about? Because we're at a time of year where we're starting to put budgets together. There's nothing overly critical happening right now. You know, if you drive downtown Rapids, you'll see, you know, the jail's well under construction. Yeah, those things are coming along. But it's amazing, and especially coming back from this conference, that people, and I think we do a terrible job of educating our people to this respect, that know what government does. And we have a pretty good program with the Wisconsin Counties Association that we work on. But I don't want to sound crass or crude, but, you know, simple questions we should be asking in school, and we do this in some of our educational opportunities. Who picks up my garbage? Mm-hmm. And where does it go when they take it? What happens when I flush a toilet? Where does it go? Who's responsible for the upkeep? Who plows the roads in different, you know, in cities, towns, on the state interstate highways? You know, those kind of questions. And the general public has no idea. You know, who operates the courts in the Wood County Courthouse? Who handles the district attorney's offices? Mm-hmm. Who runs jails? What's the difference between a sheriff's department and a police department? And we don't teach people. And that I find a little bit irritating because the programs are there. They're, in effect, they're in the can. Mm-hmm. And we have the opportunity. Maybe we should step up as elected officials, you know, with our schools and say, how about you let me come in for a day?
Yeah.
I'll answer all the questions you want, and I'll teach the class on local government. And mm-hmm. and I'm one of many who could obviously do that.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's no understanding of what happens. The one underlying line I always use, and I'm not alone in this, is the further government gets from the people, the less effective it becomes and the less reactive it comes. If you know your neighbor's an elected official and you can talk to him as a human being one-on-one, you get a lot more traction than somebody who you don't know who's in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes in a position like mine or a county board supervisor, you tend to be the conduit. You know, people call me and say, when you're talking to your state legislator, when you're talking to our congressional representatives, can you let them know?
Mm-hmm.
I can, but I can tell you what, your phone call, your letter has a lot of traction there.
Yeah.
So, you know, reach out, ask, and then, you know, try to learn, try to educate yourself. I think that's great because I was thinking about that on the way over.
That's funny.
Most people don't know what government does. You know, I get calls all the time. Yeah, and there were some of them are ridiculous, and I'm using the ridiculous to make a point.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Plimmel, you need to fire the school board. For instance, I'm not elected to the school board, and I have no jurisdiction over the school board. And frankly, I watch what they do, but I don't know what your issue is with the school board.
Right, right.
Or go tell the town guy what to do because the county outranks the town. Well, I'll tell you what, counties don't outrank towns. It isn't towns, counties, state, federal government. They're all separate levels of government with separate areas of, you know, jurisdiction and purview. And you need to learn that. And you need to respect it.
I think that history helps you a lot in this, too, and it can help you even remember these things and learn these things. This whole experiment of America started with getting away from monarchies. How do we do that? How do we make sure that the people are always in charge? Multiple forms of government, multiple forms of you know, high of people, checks and balances and all this and accountability and those things. And it all is a tapestry that really does work and is magnificent to sit back and look at how it's all designed. We live in a time and age where everything's evolving and changing and getting faster and quicker and all these things. There's certain stuff that has remained true to what it was and still is. And I think county boards are one of these things. I think I know what a purpose they serve. I know how important they are. But I also know that I'm a little alone on this where I talk to just random people and ask them, you know, have you ever thought about joining county board? Have you ever thought about what, you know, being a part of these things? And almost the first question is, yeah, but what do they do? Yeah, but what is it to do? Pretty much everything, man. You know, they're pretty important. It's very an important gig and everything. And it's something that most of you do out of your own free time, out of your own day.
It's not a profession. You know, unlike, you know, some of the other elected officials where it truly is your source of income. But it is interesting, and it touches every aspect of life. And I always say, you know, there are offices you can walk into, the county clerk's office, the register of deeds. There are some people who do business there regularly. But if county government hasn't touched your life, you've probably had a pretty good life. You know, because we do deal, you know, we have sheriff's departments and jails and you know, in courtrooms up there. We deal with people who have financial issues, mental health issues. You know, we touch your life if it's places you might not want to touch, child support, other, you know, other issues like that. And then there are offices, obviously, like our parks offices, planning and zoning, that you might be touched by or you might go in and ask for help. But generally speaking, people don't know what county government does. We have 650 employees, you know, providing everything from, you know, you look at Edgewater Haven down here to our facility up at in Northwood County, is previously referred to as Norwood, which most people would recognize that name, to all the other myriad of services that we provide, and they're wide-ranging. When I first ran for office, I was asking in a debate, how many county employees are there? And my mind's going really quick. I'm trying to calculate. I'm thinking, 200. I'm thinking, that's probably 50 people in the sheriff's department, 50 in the highway department. And I'm thinking, now this goes back 25, 30 years. I'm thinking, got to be 100 others laying around somewhere.
Yeah.
650. And then you start thinking, well, those operations, the Edgewaters, Norwoods, our mental health people, our child protective services, adult protective, those are 24/7 operations.
Yeah.
And one person doesn't cover a day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so there's a lot of people. The scope of county government is huge.
We're in a time and age where there's a million outlets for people to voice their opinions and their two cents and all that. And we have a lot of it. And I, you know, that's part of the beauty of our country is the ability to be able to do that. But there are so many people that are barking and they're not looking into where they can get the answers. They're just throwing it out into the ether. And it's not hard to get the answers to a lot of these things. And as Lance touched on, asking public officials, talking to them is very important and very key to this. It's getting harder and harder to get people to be board members, to join things, to be a part of these things, to take from their personal time to do this stuff. I genuinely think we would have better numbers of that if we were better about getting the information out there of what and how important these jobs are. I talk about this with Senator Teston, Representative Krug, Katrina Shanklin. We've talked about this where we've got a young generation paying attention right now, and they're taking all this in. And what they're seeing on the news is nothing but negative about politics, nothing but even somebody that you might like from a friendly, quote unquote, friendly news source is going to be harsh on politics. How, if you're a young person, why would I want to do that job? All I'm seeing is negative, negative, negative. All I'm seeing, even when somebody does something right, the other side comes and tears it apart and everything. And it's both sides. This is not a one-sided thing. This is a both sided. It can be very bad. If I'm a young person, I'll go start something on Etsy. I'd rather do that than jump into pot. So this is the danger we're running into, where we're going to get people that are into these jobs that are just in it for the ego, that are just in it because I want my 15 seconds of fame, which is also another issue. I think that one of the ways you create this is what you were touching on before, Lance. Start with the garbage. Who picks up my garbage? Who's in charge of that? Where does it go? It creates empathy. It doesn't just create knowledge. And all of a sudden, you start caring about these things more because you know about them more. And I think that you can pull people in. You're not going to get everybody, but I think you can pull people in through this.
You know, the separations, the duties. And, you know, for those people out there, there's a lot of opportunities to serve within government without being an elected official. There's a number of people that, you know, are not elected that our board, you know, sometimes my recommendation, but our board confirms and we appoint to different positions within the community that serve a vital purpose. You know, right now we're dealing with, you know, one of the things that comes up every year is, you know, what's most important to people in a county? And typically when we interview people around the state or we do surveys, public safety is number one. You know, they know when they want to know that when they walk out their door that they are generally safe. Education, top of the list. Work opportunities. But more and more, it's lifestyle. Mm. You know, and I'll give you an example. One of the things that we deal with in Wood County and we're facing right now is, you know, we have a Central Wisconsin State Fair, a Wood County Fair, mm-hmm. You know, up in Marshfield. And there's a lot of facilities up there. They need maintenance. They need upgrading. But it's a five-day event that, you know, tens of thousands of people attend. And it's a fabric of life in Wisconsin, if not the nation, especially if you're in a rural or suburban area. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I don't remember, you know, what I ate for lunch yesterday or 2 days ago, but, you know, you kind of remember those days as a kid, the sights, the sounds, the, you know, the smell of the candy, oh, yeah. You know, the popcorn mm-hmm. being made or whatever it is. And, you know, we are instrumental in running that fair, the county. And we have a newer county board supervisor. His name's Jeff Penscover. Mm-hmm. And Jeff has kind of taken the bull by the horns on helping us understand that and what might be necessary to improve those fairgrounds. So, you know, one of the things we look at as a county is not just providing what I'd call those vital services, but providing those services that make for a lifestyle that's attractive to people to come to the area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so right now, you know, we're looking at how we do some improvements up there and host bigger events and bring people to a community. You know, what's the identifying factor within a community? You know, we have Cranberry Blossom Festival down here. I personally would like to see that in a centralized location where everything's in one place, where people really know where to go, when to go, and how mm-hmm. to get there. But like with Marshfield, with the fairgrounds, we don't always have the facilities to do that. You know, when I travel around the country, there is nowhere in Wood County right now that we can host a really large event. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we're looking up in Marshfield is a fairly large, call it whatever you want to find, but, you know, exposition kind of center. And I don't mean anything fancy, but just a big building where we can bring in events, you know, whether it be summer, fall, winter, you know, enough square footage to have some event of some magnitude. Now, we're not going to be Madison, Milwaukee, or Green Bay. Yeah, we're not going to bring the NFL draft to Marshfield.
That's where I was going to go with this. All right, fine. I'll back off.
But if you don't think that, you know, what people don't realize is government responsibility and financial success don't end at a city's border or a county's border, or necessarily a state. You know, the NFL draft, you know, you've seen the numbers. They're talking $90+ million coming into the community. Hundreds of thousands of people. Same thing with the U.S. Senior Open. Yes. You know, this year in Portage County, in Stevens Point. If you don't think you're going to have a spillover into all the other, you know, surrounding towns, villages, counties, as well as the economic benefit to place the hotels, restaurants, you know, gas stations, but even the, you know, the golf courses. Those people that come to visit are going to go play the Arrowheads and the Sand Valleys and the other courses in the area. They're going to go to the Kohler area. Bringing those people in the state is extremely important. You have a national convention, political convention coming in to Milwaukee. I mean, these are huge. And so what the way we want to position ourselves is that when people visit our community, there's a sense of community and there's a sense of people are friendly, welcoming. And that's what I get kind of overwhelmingly when people come here. They say, I can't believe how friendly your community is.
When my family first moved here, we were blown away by the water ski show tournament. We didn't know about
biggest
it or
biggest water
anything.
Ski tournament in the world.
Yep. And we were so excited about it. We go down there. We take it all in and everything. And we didn't know anybody in town, so we were just talking to people and mingling. And one of the people we were talking to was a couple that had moved to the area like 5-10 years before that. But they had found out about this area through the water ski show tournament. They liked the area, came here every year, and just decided one year, you know what, we're going to stay. And I don't know if they're still here or not. Or anything, but I'll never forget that because it was interesting to run into other transplants. It was interesting, like just out of nowhere, but it spoke to this area, and it's a story that I've read, and I've run into so many people that are from a neighboring town or from another state. They came here to visit or something, or they came through here like my papa did when he drove semi and fell in love with this area. It's just getting them here. And to your point about all those events you touched on, statistically, some of those events, if 10 people showed up at one of those events, 3 to 4 of those people are going to want to come back. And they're going to come back and they may even move here. So, again, to the importance of population and how much it's every community like ours is trying to keep their population in check and keep it at a certain level. That helps that, too.
You know, and that's a tough part, to run all of these events. You know, and the water ski tournament is a great example. You know, the Wisconsin State Water Ski Show Tournament, largest water ski tournament in the world. Hosted in Wisconsin Rapids. It's been hosted here for, you know, half a century.
Yeah.
Fantastic event. People from all over the country, not just Wisconsin, show up at that event. And when I travel around the state, and I used to tell people this that were in the paper industry, I said, you won't believe this, but when I travel, people often don't say to me it's the home of Consolidated Papers. They say it's the home of that big water ski tournament.
Yeah.
So we have to be cognizant of that, what those events bring into community. But those events don't run with just members of, for instance, the aqua skiers. Just like I'm talking with the fair. It takes hundreds, if not thousands, of volunteers to pull those events off. And I can tell you, because I'm familiar with these, they start planning next year's event the day after this year's event ends. And it takes I don't want to leave people out, but I'm going to eventually, because I'm going to name somebody.
It
takes members of, you know, whether it be the Kiwanis, the Lions, the Rotary, that pitch in at those events. They show up. They help. They cook. They clean. They make the community vital in that respect. So there's a lot of opportunities. And the thing that I find most frustrating today is when I hear a young person tell me, there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
And then they tell me, but I don't have time to do anything. And I'm going, wait a minute. Generationally. Without the conveniences we have today, I didn't get to used to sit down at a keyboard and a word processor and go, oh, backspace, correct, go. You know, you type a full page, and if you made a one-letter mistake, you type the whole page over because the professor wouldn't accept an erasure.
Yes.
So we all had kids. We had less opportunity to travel, or it took more time. Typically, you know, by plane now, you know, it used to be by car before that, or some buggy. Didn't have word processors, didn't have information at my fingertips, and we did it. And when I hear people today say, I just don't have time to be part of that organization, or I don't have time to help out in the community. I'm going, you don't, it's not that you don't have time. You don't want to have time.
Yeah.
Go make some time. So at the end of the day, you know, we're going to be judged as, you know, generationally by the successes or failures of the following generation.
Yep.
And if there's nobody there to mentor, and that's maybe what I personally take most pride in, is who do you see inclination, talent, or the willingness to do something? And how can I help them? You know, I know the next generation coming up behind me, let's say politically, they're smarter.
Yeah.
They're more tech savvy. Some cases more educated. Those that are willing to do that have a huge head start on those of us who are older. I'm not going to say old, but older.
Yeah, older.
So, you know, that's my encouragement to everybody out there is be involved in something. You know, you can't sit in your basement all day looking at a screen and assume that you're going to make a real big difference in society. Yeah.
I wanted to wrap up with your conference that you just attended. How did that go? Any headlines from that conference?
Yeah, you know, it's a great conference. So it's the National Association of Counties has a conference every year. They have a national conference, which is going to be in Austin this year. They also have one for the western region of the United States. And, you know, the big takeaway from that is the water issue out west. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the levels of Lake Mead. Although Lake Powell has gone up already 70 feet this year. Think about that. It's gone up 70 feet. They're predicting 90 due to the snowpack. But, you know, fresh, clean water is the new oil, you know.
Yeah.
And when we've done some surveys and they say, where's the most attractive place for people to, you know, for in-migration in the next 30, 50 years? Believe it or not, the number one place in the nation listed was Duluth, Minnesota.
I believe it.
And I'm going, I thought everybody left Duluth to go south because of the weather.
Right, right.
But, you know, an unlimited supply, basically, of fresh water. Very little natural disasters. You know, not a lot of tornadoes, no hurricanes, no flooding, mm-hmm. Those kind of issues. And water. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look at these communities that are so affected out there, you know, Arizona, yep. New Mexico, California. We were just dealing with this, Nevada. In fact, what was really interesting out there is I'm never sure what state I was in because we were in St. George, Utah. And within 10 miles, you're either in Nevada, Arizona,
yeah,
or Utah.
Right, right, yeah.
And the time changes in every one of those.
It's confusing.
But what you really learn out there is, you know, water is probably the most valuable resource. And obviously, as we look at stuff in our state with PFA contamination or nitrate contamination is, you know, we have to make sure that we're making those efforts to protect that resource. And I don't mean go crazy one way or the other.
Right, right.
But, you know, you certainly need to be aware of it, and we need to treat that as an extremely valuable resource.
Much like other issues we've talked about, you and I, people aren't moving to a place where they can't trust the water. And that's an issue around the whole country. But we can just take care of our own state and, you know, locally stuff. And it's good to see so many people like coming around on this subject that we've been covering for a while, you and I and others on Morning Magazine. But now it feels like the nation is behind this story. And you're right. It's the new oil. It's the new... the new everything, really, because most people, it does. Okay, they got a great school. Oh, they got a jobs. That's great. How's their water? Like that's going to come up, and it's the deal breaker for a lot of people.
Yeah, and, you know, and the other thing that, you know, we're really lucky is the opportunity that we have with our state legislators, with our congressional representation. You know, we have great communication with those people. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's Senator Tessin right in our area here, Representative Krug, mm-hmm. Rosar, Shankland, I can name them all. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can pick up the phone and call them. And that's not the case everywhere in the country. Congressman Van Orden has been extremely willing, you know, to come into our area and not say, I'm here from the federal government, tell you to, going, what do you need? That, you know, having that opportunity to talk to those people and meeting with them, you know, so sometimes that's where we are the conduit.
Yeah.
Don't not call,
right.
You know,
right.
Be in touch with, get to know their local representatives. Because every time you walk in an office, you can't have an ask. You can't say, hey, I need money or I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of those are, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Everything good at home? Hey, I saw your kids, Bobby and Susie, and they all look like they're doing great.
Yeah.
You need to learn, you need to meet people and get to know them personally. And then they know that you are genuine. When you walk into the office with a real concern instead of I'm just here with my hand out saying, I want more money.
Yeah, yeah.
So
people don't usually, they tune out to that.
They tune out.
You build a relationship with somebody, it goes a long way.
Or they turn away and go, oh, he's here again.
Yes, yes, that too. Lance, I always appreciate the open conversation we have. If people have more follow-up stuff, they want to talk to you about any of these things, how can they reach you?
You can give me a call. My number's in the book. Mm-hmm. So, you know, give me a call, reach out, email, call the county. Somebody will get a hold of me.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I try to pride myself on, I'm going to do this real quick, is I try to call everybody back who calls me. I don't care how much they're yelling, how much they're screaming. You know, call them back. But you wouldn't believe the number of calls I get where, you so-and-so, blah, 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 call me.
Mm.
Well, just so you know, I don't have caller ID.
Yeah, you got to leave a number.
So people, you got to leave a number or a name. I spent the better part of a day on a recent issue trying to find the person.
Yeah.
You know, I knew their name was like Robert.
Mm, that's all you got to do.
But I'm going, all right, you know, so I'm looking property search. Is there a Robert who lives in the area? Yeah, leave a name, leave a number.
I love the idea of you calling every Robert in the phone book, though. I do like
that. I did start with our property identification, our GIS, going, he lives around here.
Somewhere. It's got to be in the ballpark. You can find out more by going to Woodcock. woodcountywi.gov. It's a fantastic website. I encourage you to bookmark it, woodcountywi.gov. Also, while you're at it, go to YouTube, bookmark our friends, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Media. Be sure to subscribe.
It's theater
to
their, sometimes. You know.
There's theater involved. It's right in the kitty corner to you guys. The actor here has to mention theater any chance they get. Yeah, go ahead, type in your search bar on YouTube, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to their page. Always appreciate the time, you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll come back with some more Morning Magazine here on WFHR, locally grown radio.